Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. Hope you're all doing well, ready for a weekend of fun and safe, thrilling activity. How's that? I know that's what the Packers rookies are looking forward to. The first of 2 days of rookie minicamp kicked off today. Rookies are in the house. Various stuff heard from regarding their acclimation to Green Bay and practice and the facilities and things like that. We also heard from Matt LaFleur, where a ton of news, obviously. The only real kind of news point from that availability was the fact that Jaire Alexander is not participating in the in-person portion so far of the offseason program, though it is voluntary. But yeah, great to see all the rookies get their moment in front of the media. If you haven't yet, highly recommend checking out the stuff on the Packers YouTube channel. They've got interviews with most of the guys, most of which who have been signed. That's the other bit of news from the day. 10 undrafted free agents, along with all but two of the draft selections, have been signed to their contracts. It's news these days if the rookies don't sign in a timely manner because of the slotted nature of the deals now. More often than not, this is a kind of easy process. Holdouts are very much a thing of the past, although we do see the occasional hold in from vets. Obviously, Golden and his running mates there in the building, talking to the media, getting the lay of the land. No football activities yet. That comes later during OTAs, but they will get individual instructions and things of that nature. The long road and the hard work begins. I was just on the radio with Drew and KB, and apparently they had a caller asking about Matthew Golden's potential to become the next Justin Jefferson. And look, man, I get it. I understand the excitement, but whoa, brother, slow down. Let's see him on an NFL football field against NFL competition before we start comparing him to one of, if not the greatest wide receiver in the league at the moment. I know we're all very excited about his potential, but all these rookies, they have got to get on the field and do the work, and there is plenty of it. So I know I'm a bit of a wet blanket in that regard, but that's often why I talk about the fact that it's last year's draft class and the last couple years' draft classes that are going to be pivotal in the Packers taking steps forward and becoming better and growing into the contender we all hope they are. Obviously, the rookies hopefully do contribute and grow as far as their ability to contribute and get into the rotation and maybe even become starters as the year goes on. But it is going to be much more about guys like Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams, etc., who are going to be big keys to success in 2025 for the Green Bay Packers. Little doubt about that. Hello to everybody in the comment section. So good to see everybody chiming in already. Stu, football, I very much agreed. Joe, what's up, man? I agree with Tyler. Golden has impact right away. Yes, alluding to my conversation with Tyler Brook in the final episode of the Draft Industrial Complex. It went up earlier this afternoon. Make sure you check that out. We did a review of the entire draft class. And yes, I think he will be given the opportunity. Now, obviously, a lot of that is down to what he does with it to earn more opportunities. But yes, I think especially because of his upside and his athleticism, his speed, he'll be given opportunities right away. And I think they'll have packages where, you know, maybe he's not asked to do a ton, but they have very specific things they want to get him on the field for right out of the gate. Again, mostly because they are missing Christian Watson. They are missing that speed element. They're going to need that on the field in as many ways as possible. Dennis, how are you, man? Good to see you. Good to see everybody up in here. We got Tulio. Nags, do you see the front office adding another defensive tackle to the roster before the season? Not really. If you're talking about street free agents, I think they'll see what they've got. They'll have guys like Nazir Stackhouse, the undrafted free agent, try to make the squad. But I would be surprised if they went shopping, so to speak, unless, of course, they get into, say, you know, a week or two into camp and it's really not coming to fruition, so to speak, the way they expect, then maybe they start casting about a little bit. But I think what they how they usually operate anyway, you know, they'll take these guys through the offseason and into training camp and see how they progress and see what they've got on their hands, especially when it comes to the younger players, and also how even the vets are adjusting to a new defensive line coach, things like that. But yeah, I'd be surprised if they went out and spent free agency dollars at this point. That doesn't mean they won't. Doesn't mean it's impossible. But I think they'll roll with what they've got for now. Rick Harris, thanks to Super Chat, man. Think Cooper could replace Walker at some point? I mean, it depends on what you mean by replace. I think they're running mates for the most part. I think they work really well in tandem together. Now, we've only gotten very kind of limited glimpses of that, mostly in the playoff game against the Eagles. But I suspect, you know, they want Cooper freed up, and he'll probably be playing weak side linebacker or be given those types of assignments and leaving Walker in the middle. That doesn't mean that they won't ride with Cooper in the middle at times or in certain situations, maybe against certain opponents, certain packages, things like that. But I don't think it's as easy as, well, now Cooper's going to be the one guy who's always on the field. I think there'll be times where maybe that does happen, again, dependent on the opponent. But I don't think, you know, for the most part, they're going to have one guy featured. I think you'll see the two of them working together quite a lot. That doesn't mean that maybe Cooper can't become, you know, a bona fide star in this league, because we've certainly seen his ability flash his rookie year. And maybe that leads to a point where he becomes the only backer on the field at times and holds down that role, you know, permanently. I don't think we're quite there yet. But yeah, I think we're going to see those two guys working together more than anything in 2025. Craig, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Long snapper, no competition for Orzek? You know what's so funny, Craig? As I legit mentioned this on, I believe, was Zabe the other morning, last week when I was in Green Bay? Because I said, you know, Packers fans will find something to be upset about when it comes to the undrafted free agent class. And lo and behold, here's Craig being upset that there's no long snapper competition. I mean, look, man, he's never cost them a game, knock on wood. Certainly you'd like some of these to be a little bit more on point. But he can do it. He's done it. Hell, he has a ring from doing it. So, yeah, I got better fish to fry than needing a upgrade at long snapper. Can we get to the quarterback, please? That's what I'd like to do. Can we run the ball with more efficiency on first down? Can we, you know, get open on third and catch the ball? These are the things I'm, you know, looking for in 2025 when it comes to improvement. The long snapper, Craig, buddy, it is May 2nd, 5:08 Eastern in the PM. Crack a beer, man. Relax. Enjoy the weekend. The long snapper stuff will take care of itself. I promise you. Ben, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you, man. Golden picking 22 because 2 is his grandma's favorite number. Warms the heart. Can't wait to see Golden and Savion progress. Could be fun. Ben, I'm glad you brought that up because I wasn't going to. But I will say, for all of you who were complaining about his selection or the, you know, Packers giving him 22, of which there are plenty of you, and if you deny it, there are receipts all over Twitter. Shame on you. Shame on you. This young man honoring his grandmother, and all you're doing is bitching about, oh, a wide receiver shouldn't be wearing 22. Shout out to Golden's grandmother. Shout out to Golden. 22 forever. I'm getting a jersey. I can't wait. Jason, thanks to Super Chat, man. Regarding Brinson, but Johnny Jolly was a sixth round too. Not saying, just saying. I mean, okay. I like the vision. I like where you're at. The progression could potentially happen. I will say, I texted someone inside 1265 today and said, I hope this cat can play because I love listening to him talk. He's hilarious with a mic in his face. Let's go. More of that. Dennis, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Is it easier for a defensive draftee or an offensive draftee to crack the starting rotation? Love all that you do. Go Pack, go. Thank you, Dennis. I mean, it's hard to say it's with a blanket that one is easier than the other. I think there are spots that are easier on both sides of the ball. Running back traditionally in the NFL is the spot on offense that you can come in and produce right away, where usually it's not too big of a jump. Now, the one thing you do have to show that you're expert at, or you are at least adept in, is pass protection, right? That's usually what keeps rookie backs off the field. But on the offensive side of the ball, that's it, right? On defense, you know, I think the thing that makes defense maybe a little bit easier, although nothing's easy in the NFL, but if you are a rookie and looking to make an impact, because defense is so much more reaction-based than offense, you can just kind of get by with flowing to the ball, making plays. And that kind of is what you saw out of Cooper last year, right? I mean, you heard Matt almost after every game where there's still a lot of mistakes, et cetera, but he's racking up like 14 tackles. He's getting like a handful of tackles for loss each game. He's making an impact, right? Right away. Because sometimes you can just let that athleticism and those instincts just take over on defense, where on offense, it's a little bit more intricate. Not to say that it's not on the defensive side. There are certainly things you're working on and together with, but on defense, you can kind of just flow to the ball and make a play, right? Whereas on offense, it's a little bit more kind of intricacy to it. So a long-winded way of saying, I would say defense overall, but in the history of the NFL, rookie running backs can make an impact right away. No doubt about it. Michael C., what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. In your humble opinion, what is one of the most overlooked Packer playoff victories? In my opinion, beating the Vikings in the 2012 wild card was pretty cool. Whew, underrated or overlooked? Overlooked Packer playoff victories. Yeah, that's a tough one, man. It's hard to overlook playoff wins. I hear what you're saying. Any playoff win is great. And maybe some aren't celebrated as much as others because of how the season ends up, right? You know, I love the win against Seattle at home where Devontae has the double move for a touchdown. That's one that kind of gets lost because of how the season ended, right? I don't know, man. It's hard to say that any of them are too overlooked. You know, look, my favorite one ever is probably the first one, the end of the strike shortened season when they beat the Cardinals in Lambeau, and I couldn't believe this was real life. You know, it's not one that I think a lot of people, probably youngsters, even know about or remember because they weren't around. But that was insane. The fact that the Packers were not only in the playoffs, but won a playoff game at Lambeau. Insanity, man. Never thought that would happen, let alone then, you know, 20 years later, they go on and win a Super Bowl. Always nuts. Always nuts. What else we got here, folks? Rick Harris says beating Atlanta in 2010. There's nothing overlooked about that. People name check that as like one of Rodgers' greatest performances ever. There's nothing overlooked about the win in Atlanta in 2010 at all. Chris, when do you think Golden and Belton sign? Yeah, sometime this offseason. I mean, it's mostly slotted. So you're just kind of working through some of the guaranteed stuff, maybe some of the bonus structure, but they'll be signed before training camp, and that's all that matters. So, you know, wake me up when camp is here, and if they haven't signed, then we can talk about it because then it's a news story. But until then, it's inevitable that they will prior to the start of camp because, like I said, the new CBA, these things are slotted. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room. And a lot of this comes down to kind of waiting for people around you and looking at, you know, what that position did last year in the draft, that both the number 23 and wide receiver, you know, wide receiver selected, et cetera. It'll get done. Nah, I'm not too worried about it. In fact, I'm not worried about it at all. What else we got? Simatovic, what's going on, man? If Golden does well, does that mean the end of Christian Watson? I don't think so. Tovich, I'm glad you asked this. I've seen a lot of people asking if Matthew Golden hits, or even just because of drafting Matthew Golden, does that mean Christian Watson's automatically out the door? Or does that spell the end? Or is it bad news? No, not at all. They're very different receivers. And I understand everyone looks at the speed and says, oh, well, that's the Watson replacement. That's the speed replacement because they need it because Watson's hurt and won't be ready until week 12 or so. But Watson's a very different animal. And if you could ever get them on the field together, I'm of the opinion, hey, let's score 45 a game because we have both of them. That's where I'm living, and I hope that's where the Packers are living. It's not to say that, look, if Watson does come back, and let's say he's a bit middling and doesn't look like his old self, maybe they let him hit the market, etc. But I would suspect that he's going to come back late in the year, provide what he can provide, which is very unique, both in the passing game and his ability in the running game, blocking, all those things he does very, very well. And the Packers hopefully lock him up to, you know, a 1 or 2 year extension where they understand he's coming off a pretty significant injury. And they also know that their offense is very, very different and much better when he's on the field. Maybe he tries and is looking forward to hitting the market coming off an injury. I doubt it. But yeah, Golden, for all the excitement there, man, that's a very different type of player. Watson is a long strider, a guy who obviously can take it to the house at any moment. We've seen that countless times. But he's a physical guy who can play on the perimeter and seal the edge in the run game and then hurt you with a double move and get deep, take an end around all the way. And that's not to say Golden can't do some of that, but who's to say he can do it right away? And he's certainly not going to be played the same by defensive coordinators. You're not going to be matching up the same. So I don't think one begets the other. I don't think the drafting of Golden is walking papers for Watson. Now, maybe they do end up moving on, but I don't think it's because Golden's there. I don't think there's a direct line at all. Marshall Duke, how are you, man? Do you think Jair showing up to voluntary workouts and possibly OTAs are to show teams he is healthy to increase his trade value? Well, Marshall, he is not there. He participated in the virtual part of the offseason program, the start of it, while the draft was going on. But Matt said today that he is not there for the offseason work in person. But look, no, he's not. He doesn't have to send any kind of message to teams in that regard. His agent will do that work. They know where he is from his representation. You know, the fact that the Packers have called around and there was a team willing to pull the trigger, except Jair wouldn't touch his contract, tells you that teams are pretty aware that he's healthy and ready to go. Yeah, so I don't think that one has much to do with the other. Ed, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Just want to start this season with 17 wins. I mean, I would start with 19. That's just me. But 17, I mean, I guess beggars can't be choosers. I'm down, man. Craig, thanks again. I'm sure you've talked about, but cornerback, if Jair leaves, our cornerback depth really hurts. Lack of star power and depth. Super Bowl team if our cornerbacks are good. I mean, there's lots of kind of trepidation about the fact that if Jair isn't there, you're thin suddenly on the outside if there is an injury. Like, that's true. But I will say, and I talked about this with Justice a little bit, you know, the fact that they have lots of versatility and they have safeties that can play down in the slot, namely Bullard, which we saw a lot of last year, that does help. And that does give them a little flexibility and or depth when it comes to, okay, we got guys we can slide in here. And yeah, we got Nixon and Valentine and Hobbs that are all able to play on the outside. They're going to be mixing and matching, and I think somewhat matchup dependent at times, but they got more than enough. Like, I'm not worried that we're going to be sitting here watching Ladarius Gunter. Shout out Ladarius for doing yeoman's work that year. But yes, are they better if Jair's in the fold? Zero doubt. Absolutely 1,000%. But as we've talked about all offseason, most likely not going to be the case. Ben, thanks for Super Chat, man. Watson and Golden are on the field at the same time. Don't tempt me with a good time. That's what I'm saying, man. Everyone keeps saying it's one or the other. Like, can we do both? I think we can. That'd be a lot of fun. Let's do it. David asks, what's the possibility of keeping Dobbs and Watson? The possibility is there. I don't think it's likely. I do think they will most likely move on from one or the other, but nothing's written in stone. A lot of that will be determined throughout the season. I would be surprised if they kept both, though. I do think a lot of it was going to be determined on, you know, obviously what Dobbs is able to put together throughout the year, but then how Watson comes back and what kind of output he has, how he affects the offense, things of that nature. But it's unlikely that both of those guys are back. And that's just, you can't pay everybody, right? And they did just select two wide receivers. You know, the show goes on, so to speak. Jay's World. I get what you're saying. So, seen some draft analysts saying Golden wasn't dynamic. How do you run 4.29 and not be dynamic? Well, I did just talk about this with Tyler a little bit on Draft Industrial Complex. I understand people saying he doesn't play to his time on the Texas tape because a lot of his touches, especially some of the stuff on the perimeter where they're running him behind like an orbit motion or whatever, they're getting some kind of what they you would consider manufactured touches, right? It's not he's beating a guy off the line of scrimmage, running a nine and taking it to the house. Although I will say, as Tyler pointed out, it's not like he had a rocket armed quarterback. You know, it's not like they could really take advantage of that speed. But I understand people saying maybe he didn't play to the 4.29 at times with that offense because of how they utilized him. But I think way more than any of that, what matters is his potential and what he can do and what he could potentially do in the Packers offense. You know, so this is what I talk about all the time. I just talked about this on the radio. You know, what these guys did in college against college competition does not matter a whole hell of a lot. Now, you get play style, you get ability, no doubt about it. But what matters is what they do in this system with these teammates, with Matt LaFleur drawing up the game plan and calling the plays. And I think the potential there, tell me what he can do, not what he can't do. The potential there is enormous, right? So that's where I come down on it. Ewers wasn't bad. I didn't say he wasn't bad. He's just not a, don't sit here and tell me he's got a rocket arm. I just said he didn't have a rocket arm quarterback. And if you think Ewers has a rocket arm, we need to recalibrate your definition of rocket. Not everything's a slight. Not everything's a negative put down. I'm just saying, man. You've clearly watched, like, how many times? Golden's deep, and he's got either weight on it or it's thrown behind him. Dude doesn't have a cannon. It's not a knock on the kid. It's just who he is. Let's see what else we got. Nagquility. I don't know, Daryl. That sounds terrible. Nagquility. Tranquility. Nobody needs that in their life. Definitely not. Cody, that's an interesting take. The Jair talk is the only thing I'm interested in now the draft's over until training camp and a little news from mini camp. Keep the Jair news coming, Cody. Oh, buddy, I'm over it. I just want to get to camp, and I'm not spending all summer doing Jair watch. I know people ask me about it, so I will talk about it when they ask, but I certainly ain't up here beating the drum for it. God knows. Give me anything but. All right, buddy. I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Thanks to the few of you who checked out Madden Morning this morning on the Cheesehead TV Twitch account. Told you guys I'm going to be doing it most mornings, so if you haven't, make sure you follow us on Twitch. It's a lot of fun. I beat up on the Bears this morning. Actually, it was a crazy ending to that game, but I did win. Be doing that, like I said, most mornings on the Twitch channel. So come hang out, chat some Packers while I play some Madden. And then, you know, hit like, hit subscribe on this channel. Tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.